Welcome to episode 6 of KC's Lenten podcast, Into the Wilderness. If you are joining us for the first time or simply need a refresher on what this podcast is all about, I'd encourage you to check out the first episode of this series titled Into the Wilderness, Lenten Podcast Intro, and then join us back here after you're done. Let's begin. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still, small voice. Open us to change and growth as we seek to walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 4, 5-7. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Today we continue to look at Jesus' second temptation in the wilderness. Again, as we drop down into our text, Satan and Jesus are standing at the top of the highest point of Herod's Temple Mount, looking down at the ground 300 feet below. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, Jesus, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus responds by saying, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. As he did in his response to Satan's first temptation, again he's quoting Deuteronomy, again relating his 40 days in the wilderness to the Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness. The passage Jesus quotes in Deuteronomy refers to an interaction between Moses and the Israelites. Again, the people are wandering in the desert without water, and they're questioning God's provision and his promises for them. And they seek to verify his presence with them by basically saying, God, if you're with us and you're for us, prove it. Now notice how Satan's temptation is similar. Jesus, if you truly are the Son of God, prove it. Impress us. Cannonball off this ledge and we'll all watch as angels swoop in to catch you. But as I said last episode, Jesus didn't come to impress the world. He came to save it. What Jesus came to do didn't require his hubris, it required his humility. And when we think about humility, we think about people who downplay their achievements or expertise, people who avoid the spotlight or rarely pump their own tires. And those certainly are humble attributes, but Scripture tells us that the humility of Jesus was most profoundly demonstrated in his obedience. Jesus' obedience to the Father's will began what we refer to as his condescension, where he emptied and lowered himself to unimaginable depths. And it starts first with Jesus emptying himself of the privileges of being fully God to also become fully man, to forgo the glories of heaven to take on human form, and to encounter and live in the muck and mire of living in a broken world. But he goes lower still because his obedience would eventually take him to his death, and not just any death, death on a cross. Crucifixion was the ultimate indignity, a criminal's death, a form of public torture where excruciating physical pain was met only by degradation and humiliation. The cross was the lowest of the lows, the ultimate counterpoint. It could not get any lower than the cross. So Jesus, in the greatest act of self-renunciation, empties himself of privilege and glory, comes to earth, dies a criminal death, laying himself down for the sake of the world, demonstrating who God is for his people, compassionate and gracious, abounding in love, faithful and forgiving. If ever Jesus was going to prove who he was, that he was the Son of God, this was it. Now, our cultural paradigm promotes the pursuit of personal greatness. Whether it's taking the spotlight or busying ourselves in the background, there is something within us that wants to show the world just how special we truly are. And Jesus doesn't say in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am impressive and spectacular in heart." Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." What do we learn from Jesus' humility? That in the same way we are called to identify with Christ in our obedience, dying to self, going lower and lower still, laying ourselves down for the sake of the world to demonstrate who God is for his people. And here's the thing. Satan tempted Jesus to be spectacular by preserving his life, but Jesus was never more spectacular, never more glorified than in his death and resurrection. It was precisely Jesus' humiliation that became the grounds for his exaltation, and it testifies to one of God's clearest and most memorable promises in all of Scripture, that he humbles the proud and he exalts the humble. So no matter how emptied and lower you may be or you may become, God promises to lift up those who are his in Christ. As Andrew Murray says, water always fills first the lowest places, the lower and the emptier a man lays himself before God, the speedier and the fuller will be the inflow of divine glory. I've said week after week, Lent is a season of repentance, but it is also a season of renewal. It's an opportunity to come face to face with our own sin, the ways we've chosen the world, the flesh, and the devil over God, so that in turn the Holy Spirit can come and renew our inner beings, transforming us more into the image of Jesus. So your humility doesn't come by way of gritting your teeth or trying harder. It comes by way of being united with Christ, ridding yourself of the ways you've pursued your own personal glory and seeking to follow after him. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I will now lead you through a period of contemplation, pausing often for your own personal time with the Lord. Pay attention to any words, thoughts, or images the Holy Spirit reveals to you in this time. Lord, how are you calling me to humble myself in obedience to you? Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, spend time in prayer asking the Holy Spirit to renew you, delivering you from the desire to be impressive and granting you the desire to lay yourself down for the sake of the world. You can pray your own personal prayer, or I will lead you through one in a moment. Jesus, gentle and humble in heart, I confess of the ways I pursue my own personal glory, seeking on one hand the admiration of the world and in the same way attempting to work myself into greater favor with you. From the desire of being preferred, deliver me, Jesus. In its place, Holy Spirit, renew me. Transform me as I seek to follow my Savior into low places, laying myself down for the sake of the world. And from that place, Lord, fill me to overflowing so that I may reflect you with increasing accuracy and power. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this time together. We give it to you as a Lenten offering, a gift of ourselves. We thank you for being with us, for speaking to our hearts, strengthening our faith, and reminding us that we are not alone in this journey. You led us here in grace. We ask that the transformation begun in us will continue. Amen.